All right, let's look at number 12. Number 12 is the meaning of communication is the response that you get. I remember I took, before NLP, I took a number of trainings where you could actually walk up to someone and dump a whole bunch of stuff on them and say, if you don't like it, that's your stuff. I don't know if you remember that. I'm actually embarrassed by that at this point. It seems like if you're standing there communicating to someone, and I'm standing here communicating to you, and you're standing there communicating to me, who's responsible for the communication? Well, both people. Now, when I took my master's degree in communication at Syracuse University, the professor got up and he drew on the board a communication diagram, and he said, okay, now there's two people in this communication. Who's responsible for it? And, of course, we finally ended up at the end of the class agreeing that each person was responsible for it 50%, so that each person had a 50-50% responsibility. Well, in NLP, we go a little further than that. In NLP, we say each person has 100% responsibility for communicating things or for being able to produce the kind of results that they want through the communication that they communicate. See, here's the first thing. If I give up 50% of my responsibility to you and you give up 50% of your responsibility to me, then how am I going to change my behavior? How am I going to change my behavior to produce the kind of results that I want? So if the meaning of communication is a response that I get in you, then it puts a responsibility on me to change my behavior sufficiently so that I produce those kind of results. Let's look at it another way. If I don't take 100% responsibility for my communication with you, then to the extent that I don't have full responsibility, for that extent, I don't get to change what I'm doing. And if I don't get to change what I'm doing to say even as much as 50%, then I actually give up that power that I have in creating the kind of response that I have. To the extent that I take responsibility for the response that I create in you, to that extent, then I have full control or complete power to change the kind of response that I want till I get the kind of response that I want. So when we're communicating with people, the meaning of communication, regardless of what was said, regardless of how you intended it, regardless of what you thought you said, the response that you produced was actually the meaning of your communication. Now, looked at from this point of view, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And I think it makes it a lot simpler. Because now, all you have to do is look at what you want and look at what your outcome is for the communication, and then look across at the other person and see if you're producing that outcome in them. If you are producing the outcome in them, then you're communicating the way you want to. And if you're not producing the outcome in them, then you're not producing the kind of response that you want to. Regardless of what you intended to communicate, regardless of what you said you'd communicate, the response you got is what you communicated. Telephone sales is another example. And I like telephone sales because it really is a good example of perception as projection, which we talked about on our first program. It's really interesting because it's also one of the reasons why there's such a high turnover in telephone sales. In telephone sales, people either do it real well or they go crazy and get out of the business. But the fact is, in telephone sales, there's nobody out there. You're just dealing with yourself. When there's somebody else on the phone, and you think there's somebody else on the phone, then if you put the communication over onto them, the fact is you're giving up your ability to take and make that kind of change that you want to in the other person. But the fact is, it's possible to change what's going on around you by making a change inside of yourself. And William James said as far back as 1890, which was over 110 years ago now, that he said, the great discovery of our age will be that a person can change his thinking inside himself and thereby change the world around him. So the question is, how do you make the change inside of yourself so that it could make a difference in a relationship outside of you? How would you be able to change inside of you? What kind of things could you change inside of you so that you could make a change that would be reflected in people around you or be reflected outside of you? If the communication that you're communicating isn't getting the response that you want, then you can change your communication. If you had an unlimited choice of behaviors, think about it for a minute. If you had an unlimited choice of behaviors and all the time to think, do you think you'd get the response you wanted? What you want to do then is to be, of course, appropriate and ecological, etc. Now, if I've decided that an outcome is appropriate for a client, assuming it's ecological and appropriate and ethical and so forth, if the outcome is clear and certain, and if I take action, if I have enough sensory awareness of what I'm doing and I take action, then the only thing that would limit me from producing the kind of results I wanted to would be behavioral flexibility. If I had an infinite number of choices in my behavior, and if I had an infinite amount of sensory acuity, and I knew what I wanted, and I took action, all of that, and I was in a positive state, then the only thing that would limit me would have enough time to change in the way that the person needed to be communicated to. So what will give me enough time to communicate to that person, by the way, is rapport. And we'll be talking about rapport shortly. Milton Erickson one time said, "The very best subject that I've ever had in hypnosis became my best subject after 300 repeated inductions." 300 inductions. Can you imagine that? Now, in standard hypnosis, if Erickson hadn't had the kind of rapport that he had with the person, in traditional hypnosis, they probably would not have come back for 300 inductions. I think it's very important that Erickson said that. The fact is that he had behavioral flexibility, didn't he? He had a range of behaviors, I think, that were so wide, which is probably why he could literally induce trance in 100% of the people that he met. He said, by the way, one time someone asked him, "Are you able to induce trance in everyone?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I've hypnotized everyone I've ever met, and I'm still working on a couple of people." Now, if there were something that were outside of your range of behavioral flexibility, then that choice wouldn't be available to you. So behavioral flexibility is the key. That's what's going to make the difference, is communicating in a way that the person you're communicating with can hear you, that it gets through to them, that it matches their model of the world. I remember one time I had a client come to me, and he had arthritis. And he said, Tad, he said, "I hope that you don't tell me that there's going to be an instantaneous cure." And I said, no. I said, "I don't think I tell you that." And he said, "Good, because if you told me that there'd be such a thing as an instant cure," he said, "I would have left immediately." I said, "Well, you know that there's no such thing as an instantaneous cure. So how long do you think it will take you to get better?" And he said, "I think it's going to take me at least a year to get better." And he said, "What would you say?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I think." I said, "I think I would say that it would take you about a year to get better." And he said, "Very good." And I said, "So as you're getting better over this year," I said, "I wondered if we could just allow the symptomology to disappear as long as you're continuing to get better." And he said, "Yes, I think we could do that." He said, "But if you had told me there would have been an instantaneous change," he said, "I would have left the room immediately." So you have to notice and look across at what the client's model of the world is and respect that, and utilize it in the process of making change, remembering that the meaning of communication is the response that you get.